Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Reveille, reveille, donks.
Look at us now, tip to tip. This is our life. This is our passion. That's the spirit we bring to this show.
I'm Luke Thomas.
I'm Brian Campbell.
This is Morning Combat.
It is Monday, August 29th. Morning Combat is back, back in studio. Hi, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Luke Thomas, Brian Campbell. It's actually an afternoon combat as it's 3:30 East Coast time, give or take.
Skyrockets in flight, if you will.
Right? Afternoon delight.
Damn,
I know exactly
right
where you're going with this. So we have a lot to get to today. We're going to get to, of course, one championship and the results from the weekend. We'll talk about some boxing. We have a whole lot of...
I got a lot of shit to show,
BC's
too.
Feces is going to be here, plus DMs from Donks. But we have a set, a pair, so to speak. Well, I don't know if BC does, but the show has a pair of special guests.
Already to that, wow.
Of special guests here in studio. It's the reason for the season. Let me show you them now. To my right is the interim Bellator bantamweight champion of the world, Ralphian Stotz. Ralphian, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And to my left over here is the Italian gangster himself, the most electrifying force in combat sports today, and the most tan gentleman that they can find. It's Danny Sabatello.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
Hi, Danny. Danny, those glasses are triumphant, I must say.
Yeah, the glasses are becoming an epic proportion in MMA. People know me by the glasses. That's just how I am. I'm a very flashy individual. I'm very exciting. And again, that's why we're here today. I brought my fucking little kid brother right over here.
Well, let's put it right out on the table right here. You guys came directly from Ariel, Helwani Land over there at MMA Fighting. I think there were fisticuffs. Was he man enough to get between you? I would have liked to see.
Yeah, he got between me. I slapped Danny on the face just a little bit, and I figured out that he's not about shit, just like I thought. You know what I mean? He ain't about shit. He's a used car salesman, bro.
Okay.
So that's all he does. He just talks a big game, and he's not really about shit.
Well, let's set the stage here. Can we set the stage here?
Friday, December 9th, Bellator 289. It will be both semifinal fights of the Bellator Bantamweight Grand Prix. On one side of the bracket, of course, is this fight, the interim champion taking on Sabatello, which, of course, means the interim belt is also on the line for this particular contest. And then, of course, there's another, the other
Patchy
half of the bracket.
Patchy Mix versus Magomedov.
Yes.
Back to you, though, Danny Sabatello. You had a little bit of dust-up. Good thing it didn't compromise the fight. There's been no blood. There's been a couple bad words, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I went over there about a half hour ago, and I stole his belt, and he didn't do shit, as I suspected. He said he touched me on the face. I thought that was a fly. I didn't know what the fuck it was. I guess it was your hand. The bottom line is I'm going to beat the shit out of this guy December 9th in the Mohegan Sun. And I'm going to get it in his head before that because I'm the king of trash talk. I'm the king of mental warfare. I believe so much in it, and I could already tell him in his head. He's over there fidgeting. I could see it in his eyes. He's fucking scared like a little bitch that he is.
You know, it's funny for me because Danny Sabatello, you know, I just know there's no threat behind it. So I let him do, you know what I'm saying? I let him clown. I let him just... like, show out, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I have a 4-year-old, you know what I mean? So I know how it, like, you like to show out, you know what I mean? You have tension tantrums, you get spanked, like, all that stuff. So, like, I let him, like, show out because I know it's no threat. Like, my 4-year-old just comes up to me and he plays with me and he wrestles and he fights with me, but it's no threat. So I, like, let him do whatever he wants to do. So it's fun for me. This is going to be a hell of a time, you know? I'm definitely in this guy's head. He knows for a fact that he can't beat me. So,
How are you in my head?
You said what?
How are you in my head?
I'm in your head right now because look at you. Like, you're looking at me. You even off camera, you're just, like, staring at me. You keep trying to figure me out. You don't know what to fucking think.
Because you're fucking weird.
You know, Exactly.
You're a weirdo.
Well, I like that both of you are weirdos. And like, there's a lot of energy here that, to begin with, in the matchup of this fight, we're getting one step closer to $1 million.
Wait a minute. Hold up. He called me weird, but this guy is walking around sounding like a fly. Like, literally, if you close your nose and talk, that's how he fucking sounds. Also, his face is the face of a grandpa. Like, how you gonna call me weird? He's got take those glasses off, bro. That's why you wearing those glasses.
He's got a bunch of shit scripted, and he's probably gonna fuck up because he's fucking stuttering.
Have I fucked up yet?
You're about to. All you do is fucking stutter. That's why everybody says he's a good trash talker. He's not a good trash talker. He does talk a lot of trash, but all he does is fucking stutter. He's a terrible trash talker. He's a terrible fucking fighter. And the more we get in front of each other, the more I'm going to fucking expose him. You're not exciting. I always say this. This is a big fight because I'm in it. No one gives a fuck about him. No one gives a fuck about you.
It's bro, who's Danny the fuck is watching your fights? Like, who the fuck is like, oh, I can't wait
always
to see a Danny
Seven.
I want to stay right there. This is a semifinal matchup. You're going to get, like I said, a chance at $1 million, a chance to become interim champion and eventually pay Sergio Pettis, the defending champion, currently out with an injury. You watched each other's quarterfinal matchups to get to this point. He went in there against the former champion, Juan Archuleta, interim title at stake, and he stopped him. Your thoughts on that fight?
Well, he was losing until he stopped him. He got lucky with a head kick, which wasn't even a fucking head kick. It was because Archuleta rushed in, and his fucking knee hit him on the head. But before that, Archuleta was fucking pimp-slapping this guy. So, you know, it doesn't fucking matter to me whether it was Archuleta or Stotts. It's going to be the same result either way. Obviously, Archuleta was the better fighter, so this fight's going to be a little bit even easier. I'm not impressed with this guy in the slightest. You look at my quarterfinal matchup, I had a legend like Higo, and I straight dominated him, won a convincing unanimous decision. So obviously I had the better fucking fight, and he got a little bit lucky, and then I'm just going to beat the shit out of him December 9th.
I think he has an old man face. I think he has the face of an adult film star in some ways. Your opinion on his quarterfinal victory over Leandro Higo by unanimous decision?
My opinion was he barely hung on for a unanimous decision. Like, that's what he did. He hung on the whole fight. He also got reversed and pretty much curled up in the fetal position for a round while Higo did whatever the fuck he wanted to do to him. So, like, what I see a coward, bro. When things get tough, when you're, like, you're good at being the hammer, and that's probably why you're annoyed at me because I'm a better trash talker than you, because you're good at being a hammer, but when you're the nail, you suck. You're
how
terrible.
Am I the nail? All you do is stutter and interrupt me. It's fucking
but
stupid.
But people love it. Don't you hate that?
All you do is interrupt me because you're fucking nervous and I'm in your fucking head.
But people
this?
Love it. Do you hate that?
Him talk too.
How about this? You don't interrupt me, I won't interrupt you.
You don't tell me what to do because I'm the champ. That's the thing. That is, I do what the fuck I want to do.
Well, he is the champ because Sergio Pettis is a little bitch. This isn't for the fucking interim title. This is for
but
the
title. But I also
title.
Beat a formal champ. Who did you beat? You beat somebody that was ranked number 6.
He goes better than you. But again, as I was saying
Higo's
before, I was really
he goes a good fighter, but Juan Archuleta is a better fighter. I've fought better fighters throughout my career. 8 of his 12 opponents have losing records. Let's be real about that.
This guy stalks my career. I have no fucking idea.
Because I'm a martial artist. I'm a professional. That's why I'm the champion, and you're not. Because I do my homework.
Look, this breakout run of you, of late, you're becoming one of MMA's best-kept secrets. Why has it taken so long for you to have this moment? Because you arrived ready for this moment. You're the interim champion. But it feels like you just kind of came on of late, even though we didn't see that hard work behind the scenes.
So it takes a while for the general public to catch up just because I've been fighting tough fights since I came out a two-time national championship or two-time national champion, something he wouldn't know about, nothing about throughout his however many years of wrestling. So I've come out fighting tough people throughout my career, you know? I didn't get to fight somebody who was 0-7 and get to show, you know, skills like that. I had to, like, build my way up, you know what I mean? So I fought Magomedov. I fought, like, Josh Hill. I fought people with a lot more experience than me. So I didn't come out with, like, a lot of I came up with finishes, but not a lot of spectacular finishes. But now I'm just ready for the moment that I'm in right now, so.
All right, he can wrestle. Wrestling is your calling card. Sometimes when two wrestlers get in there, right, Luke? The wrestling cancels each other out. You know, sometimes it's Phil Davis and Ryan Bader, and we say, hey, can you guys wrestle a little? We missed a little bit of the action right there. What is that going to mean for this fight, Danny?
Yeah, this guy can't wrestle. You know, he has a bit of a wrestling background. He calls himself a two-time national champion. I don't know what it was in, whether it was Division II, Division III, JUCO. There's a lot of different levels of wrestling. I was a Division I Big Ten wrestler. He wasn't. My wrestling's way better than him. Obviously, in the grappling category, I am going to fucking daddy him if it goes there. But I could also keep this on the feet because he's not very good on the feet. At the end of the day, this is a mixed martial. You all right?
I mean, you just said you strike. When in your career have you struck and
anyways,
outstruck anybody?
This could go on the feet or the ground. This is an MMA fight. If he wants to do a striking fight, then why aren't you in boxing? And if a guy that wants to have a fight all on the ground, then you just go into wrestling. Me, I'm a mixed martial artist. I'm going to be on the feet and on the ground. Something that you can expect in this fight is a full MMA fight. There will be strikes thrown. There will be elbows, knees, punches, kicks. There's going to be grappling. There's going to be wrestling, jiu-jitsu, because that's who I am. I'm the best fucking MMA fighter. I don't know what the fuck you are. You're good in a couple different areas. I'm fucking great in every area.
Can we put a little credit in his name?
No.
Faced a Magomed Magomedov who can do some things on the ground.
Very good fighter.
And in a good fight, competitive fight, he out-wrestled him and got the victory.
Yeah, I Magomed's wrestling isn't good in my fucking opinion either. I don't think he's very good. I've obviously never fought the guy. I know he's on the other side of the bracket, which makes this side of the bracket so much better. The winner of this fight should win this whole fucking thing. But I don't think Magomed has great grappling. I know I'm probably going to fight him after he beats Patchy Mix, but I guess we'll have to see then. I don't think that dude's that good. Obviously, this guy beat him, and whenever I beat him, I'm going to beat the fuck out of fucking Magomed too.
How good is Magomedov?
Magomedov, I felt Magomedov is like next to me as the next best fighter. Not taking away anything from Patchy Mix, but Magomed has more skill set. You know, everybody puts it together different, but he has probably the best next best skill set.
All right, who came to you with this idea for you guys to go on tour? It's a good idea, but I'm curious when you got the call like, hey, you want to go do a media tour with Danny Sabatella?
Genius, Danny Brenner. I bet I'm gonna guess.
Was it Danny Brenner?
Yeah, that's who hit me up for it, and I was like. Fuck yeah, because I get to expose this car salesman. I can't wait.
How are you exposing me?
Why is he a car salesman? What does that mean?
Okay, car salesman. So what a car salesman does is sell you lemons. Like, they sell you cars that don't really... His fights are the most boring thing. Like, when I watch film, I literally fall asleep watching his fights. And don't get me wrong, I love wrestling. I love grappling. So I probably am going to grapple. The only thing is, I choose to grapple. The only thing he can do is grapple. And that's what we're going to find out. What happens when he can't grapple?
Is there anything legitimate to his criticism about your striking, either that it's not there or that you haven't had to show it yet?
No, not at all. I can strike. I'm going to show it in the fight with him that I do have better striking, but I'm also better on the ground. Again, I keep saying this. I am going to expose him on the feet and expose him on the ground. You know, when you hear him talk about this fight, he talks about me being boring. Okay, I don't even know what the fuck that means. Then get out of fucking fighting. I talk about how much better I am than you. You talk about me being boring. I talk about you fucking sucking because you do suck. You're not good on the ground. Maybe you're better on the ground than these other little bitches in Bellator, but I would fucking kill them as well. Yeah, I don't think there's credit behind this fucking...
You say you so much better, but all you could do against Leandro Higo is hold on, bro. That's what I mean. And when I say boring, I associate you with you can't commit offense because you're too busy holding position because you can't do anything else.
It's like an eighth grade slow dance is what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah. He just, you know what I'm saying, dancing along, holding on, hoping that she don't notice that I'm trying to touch her butt. You know what I mean? That's all he doing. You know what I mean? So that's why I feel like it's not going to be competitive. I'm going to beat the shit out of you, and I can't wait.
How? So you think you're going to force it to be a stand-up match? And
no. Even in the grappling, you don't have the skills necessary, and... I feel like I'm picking on you because you only been fighting I don't know how long or whatever. I can tell, you know what I mean?
I know, you're old. You're fucking old. I know. You're 33, 34, 35.
And I got,
I'm 29. I'm getting better. You're fucking plateaued. You're right here.
And I got the belt.
You're going to get.
And I got the belt. And what you got?
All right,
shit-ass glasses.
People are going to look at these glasses and say, man, that's like an 80s pro wrestling gimmick. How much of this is the real Danny Sabatella that walking into the corner store... You still got the same vibe. You bring that same energy.
You can go back and look at my first fights ever, and I've been the same guy this whole time. I'm the same guy as I am in the cage, as outside the cage. The good thing for me is I have an exciting personality, and that's why it works. It's because I think people can tell when something is authentic and it's not. They see that I'm exciting and authentic. When people come into this fucking business and they're fake, fans can kind of realize that. I know fans are fucking idiots, but they know when something is corny and cheesy and fucking, that's not just who they are. They realize, this is who I really am. I'm about this life. This is how I've always been, and I'm not going to change for fucking anybody. I'm going to get a lot of fucking hate, a lot of fucking steam. Most people are going to be on his side. When we go into that fucking cage December 9th at the Mohegan Sun, the crowd's going to be on his side. But that's only because people fucking hate me. And bring on the fucking hate. Everybody that fucking hates me, understand. I'm not one of these guys that's just going to sit by. It's also fuck you, too. If you're in the crowd and you fucking flip me off, I might jump into the crowd and fucking head kick you.
Mouse
I'm already. I'm going to get fucking fined again, probably, yeah, in Connecticut.
If you're like, if there's single chicks in the crowd, they might get F, too.
Anybody can get it if you're fucking throwing hate at me. But I was already fined in Connecticut once. I might as well get my money's worth if I'm going
to
get fined again.
To Connecticut. Ruffin, I want to ask you this. I'm having so much fun here.
I have a good one here. Who do you think, in your heart of hearts, I know you're going to, who does Bellator want to win this? What's the case for Bellator?
Bellator definitely wants, they put him back in Connecticut. Why they put him back in Connecticut? Because they know people hate him there. That's why they want me to, you definitely want me to win.
Bellator 1,000% wants me to win. You know, this is all being pumped up because of me. You've been in Bellator forever. Why
I've been
are you
in Bellator,
just now getting the shine?
I just got in Bellator.
You're fighting Danny Sabatello.
I'm getting the shine because I'm the champion. You're getting the shine because you're fighting me. You got it all twisted. I've been in Bellator just a year and a couple months. You don't realize that because you don't do your research.
You're 18-1. You're on your way fucking out.
I'm experienced.
I am the newcomer. I am the star.
Black
you're
don't
fighting
crack.
Danny Sabatello.
Don't you hate it? Black don't
always
crack.
Always bet on black. I heard that once from Wesley Snipes.
He went to jail for tax evasion.
Yeah, he did. What I was going to ask you is this. When this tournament gets announced, it did look different. Sergio Pettis, at least the first day, was the defending champion in this. But a lot of people were saying Kyoji Horiguchi was the favorite, even coming off a knockout loss to the champ. How much did that get under your skin? Because to both of your credit, you guys have come from behind the shadows to become the faces of this tournament at the moment.
I mean, for me, I'm, like, comfortable with my position. So I'm comfortable with, like, people not knowing my name, but I know what my skill set is. Even before the Magomed fight, nobody thought I was going to win, you know. They started catching on after that fight, but I'm, like, confident in that. And I'm confident in knowing that I'm the best in the world, you know what I mean? So that stuff don't really faze me because it don't really matter because it's, like, it's me against this pussy, you know what I mean? I don't really got to worry about nothing but this guy. Like,
Were you unhappy when, after your win over Higo, he got into the cage and y'all had that little back and forth, or did you enjoy that?
Nah, I fucking loved it. Okay. I think the more I can get in front of this guy, the better. I actually had my middle finger in his face for about 5 seconds before he did shit because he's a scared little bitch. And then he just said that fight sucks, and the crowd went nuts. But that's just the tale of him not being a good trash talker. You know, all he
the
said
the crowd
was,
did go nuts.
He said that fight sucked.
They
he didn't
love
even
me.
Say anything again.
I don't got to say
hard. Voice, though. It's the voice.
I don't got to say much, and they
they're
love
going,
me.
They're going hard for you because they hate me. This is the Danny Sabatello fight.
Nah,
you're
just
who I'm fighting.
Right. Speaking of going hard, Danny, it was Jake Hager who once famously said into a Bellator microphone after a win, "I'm rock hard with emotion right now. I've got a phoner." We saw Conor McGregor at the weigh-in against Mayweather. I mean, he had a third leg coming out. Does fighting this man get you so excited that it gets you hard, man?
Yeah, I mean, before I go to sleep every night, I picture beating the shit out of his face. And when I wake up,
oh
I picture
God.
Putting my fucking elbow through his skull. Again, all I give a fuck about is fighting, so all I really care is just beating the shit out of him. I know he's got a lot of shit going on with his life. I don't know what the fuck he's like. But all I can think about all day is December 9th, yeah. Mohegan Sun beating the fuck out of
me. I mean, Paulo Costa had a phoner ahead of that Rockhold fight. You see it at the weigh-in?
I did.
Yeah.
And for me, it's like I'm comfortable with Danny Sabatello because I cuddle my kids and I cuddle my wife every night. You know what I'm saying? I'm used to somebody trying to grab me and, you know, trying to cuddle with me the whole fight, you know? So, like, I'm used to that. I'm going to put my fist through his face and my elbow through his nose, and it's going to be fun, you know what I mean?
When you came here today, did you think you were going to talk about erections? I mean, that really...
I didn't think so.
You really took this whole thing on a...
You know, I was watching their bit with Ariel going, ask him the fucking
ask what they are.
All right, just ask
I'm
him the
definitely
question.
Not
what the people here want to know. We wanted to play a little bit of fun word association with you guys.
Okay.
You tell us, we're going to go back and forth. I'm going to ask Stotts. You're going to ask Sabatello. We're going to alternate, all right?
Yeah.
We'll tell you the name or the word or the phrase. You tell us your first thought. Here we go. Let's start it right now. Patchy Mix.
Grappler. Underdog. I take that back. Underdog.
Okay.
You want more than one word?
Nope, just the one. Here we go. Ready? Conor McGregor.
Pioneer.
Okay. Grand Prix.
Rafael Stott champion.
All right. Rafael Stott.
Bitch.
Okay.
That was very subtle, Dan.
$1 million.
Life-changing.
Ooh, okay. How about this? Sean O'Malley.
Pussy.
Okay.
That was pretty good. Scott Coker.
Boss?
It's a little strong.
Yeah.
You know.
His boss.
Promoter seems.
Yeah, or promoter, yeah.
You want me to you're an independent contractor, right?
Yeah, we are independent contracts, yeah.
Boss is a strong word.
Yeah.
Florida.
Sunshine State. Paradise.
Florida men.
What's that called?
Florida man, right?
Yeah, fake tan? I'm giving plural. Yeah. Florida men, yeah.
Fake tan.
All right.
You think this is a fake tan?
Probably. I mean, your hair is fake. Your eyes, your glasses are fake.
Okay.
Probably. I don't know.
Is
fucking
there,
idiot.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, you do you not bleach your hair? You got fake hair?
I said the tan, not the hair.
Okay. Well, if one thing, if it looks like a duck, quack like a duck, you do one thing fake, you probably do everything fake.
Yeah, you think this is a fake tan. You're a fucking idiot and a weirdo, but whatever. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Money.
Mine. 1 million of it. Whenever the next fight is after this, mine.
Fighter pay.
Pretty good in Bellator.
We hear that a lot.
We've heard that a fair bit today. MMA media.
Awesome.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Oh, shit.
The media. The MMA media is great. MMA media is great. The fans fucking suck. They're fucking idiots.
It's important clarification I want everyone to pay attention to.
The man in the hat, Chuck Mendenhall.
Do you know who that is?
Nope. All right. So nope is my word.
All right. Take that, Chuck.
That really is unfortunate.
Yeah. Who is it?
A great writer in the sport.
Member of the show at times. Great writer of the show. I'm wearing his signature hat. If you were looking at me thinking I have low T and I'm going through a midlife crisis, you'd be right. But I'm doing this to support
you. Okay, almost done.
That's cool.
Video games.
Dorks.
Sergio Pettis.
Bro. Brother.
His question about fighter erections.
Weird.
Yeah. In honor of Luke, big booty Latinas.
Yes.
Fuck it.
Choose your words carefully, young man.
Twerk, 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 twerk.
Yes, I'll accept that. I will accept that.
There it is. All right.
Well, gentlemen, we are very delighted you stopped by.
Yeah.
Please be safe. If you're going to kill each other, please do it on camera for us in the hallway.
Yeah, into that couch you can
see. He ain't going to do shit. That's not a thing.
Now, that was very real today, you're saying. You went in there with intent.
Yeah, whenever I fucking speak about, hold on, bitch, I'm fucking talking.
Men are
whenever
talking.
Talk
he ain't got no threat behind anything he says.
Again.
He says he's gonna whoop my ass or slap me when he sees me. When we're outside, he's just smiling. You know what I mean? Twiddling his thumbs like a dork.
Yeah, every time I talk, he interrupts me because obviously I'm in his fucking head.
Because I'm the champ.
Fucking, like that.
Luke says
he's
I do that
fucking nervous.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever I fucking talk about him, it's all the truth. And I try not to fucking punch him in the face because I know Bellator, I'm like, cancel the fight. You probably want me to fucking hit you, so I do cancel that.
I've never threatened. You're the only one that threatened and don't back up what you threaten.
I know, because it's hard not to fucking reach across the
desk. Just like how you fight.
You
say you're going to beat the shit out of somebody, and then you don't do it.
Well, Friday, December 9th, he's threatened to take that interim strap.
And he won't do it yet again.
Only on Showtime, Luke.
It'll be on Showtime, December 9th, Bellator 289. This will be the main event for this title right here. At the Mohegan Sun. So, Bellator 289. Gentlemen, let's do it this way. Why don't one of you exit at a time? Before you go, but you don't have to say yes. May I see your glasses?
No.
Fuck. I had to ask. Thank you for
Danny
coming, Danny.
Danny Cello.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. Best of luck to you.
I have to say, he's a funny young man.
He is funny. Yeah, he's funny. He's a kid, bro. He's a kid. He's endearing. He's like a.
When you went into the cage after his last fight.
Yeah.
How long in advance was that planned?
They told me pretty much right before the show was gonna start that I was gonna do it.
Okay, so like we showed up to the arena, they were like, "Hey, we're thinking about doing this."
Yeah. Okay. And I was like, "Okay, all
right." is it safe to let Mr. Stotts go?
Yeah.
Rafion,
champ, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you, guys.
Go get him, champ.
And can't wait to see your fight.
Yes, sir.
Friday, December 9th. You know I'm looking forward to that.
Don't you go dying on me.
There goes the hardware. That shit's heavy, by the way.
Let's go.
That is heavy.
All right.
All right.
I do have one favor to ask from the production crew. One, we got to get rid of these chairs here. And then also, I need my computer, which I don't have.
Luke, that was fun.
Okay. Yeah, that was all right. It was a little weird when you started asking them about dicks.
You know, Luke, I think that was actually the highlight in the end.
I couldn't contain myself. Did you notice? I was trying so hard to not laugh.
You know, I was like a conductor. I'd let them get hot a little bit, then a couple of times I have to cool them off.
Okay, but unfortunately, we did get, like, let's be real, like, they did the fisticuffs on Ariel's show. we didn't get the same fireworks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, are you fucking or fighting? What are they?
All right, let's do this while I'm waiting for
let's reset.
Yes, I do. It's in my bag right there. I have a black North Face backpack. It's the one with all the drugs and the wallet that says bad motherfucker on it.
Yeah, here we go. We do have a late afternoon show, but we got a good show for them today. We got to look back at the weekend that was.
No, Carly, it's the...
We got to do the shit. Look, we could have done this in advance, but
I
that's
know.
Fine.
No, no,
let's remind you that if you want to look like us, right? Why wouldn't you? You can wear our merch.
Yes, there you go.
And that's morningcombat.store. Go there right now. We got great designs, new merch available right now. We got a Dead Luke line, Factory Town MMA, all that great stuff. Shout out to Carly sliding in to hand off that.
All right. Thank you, Carly.
All right.
As a reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, should have done this at the top, but we had a strange show beginning. Thumbs up on the video if you're watching there. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, we appreciate that just the same. Please give us a nice review there as well. And Showtime, there's ways to follow us there on social, as you can see. We're on TikTok, by the way. We're trying to do a TikTok takeover.
Yeah, that's not my thing, but go for it, Luke, okay?
I'm starting to use TikTok a little bit. There's lots of women twerking there, I found.
Okay. All right. By the way, that fired me up, Stotts and Sabatello. This fight, December 9th, is going
to
be...
Yeah, good idea by Bellator to get them to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Get that word out.
Showtime, by the way, is where
you... Get that testosterone out.
That's right. Showtime is where you're going to be able to watch that fight on December 9th. So if you want to get Showtime, you can get a 30-day free trial at Showtime.com. If you like it, you can keep it. If not, you can go bounce.
Pound that sand, all right?
BC, we do have a show to get to. There was some MMA over the weekend.
You have a hard out, though, Luke, so we got a power hour.
Yeah, we can make this work. We can make this work. Are you ready to get going?
I'm ready to bang. Tui.
All right. This is my thing. Okay, let's start with the topic number one. Let's kick things off here with a discussion about Demetrius Johnson. So, Demetrius Johnson scores a phenomenal, phenomenal win on Friday night, BC. Now, we'll talk more about the larger one Amazon connection a little bit later in the show. But for right this moment, let's just focus
on Jeff Bezos.
Let's focus on Demetrius if we can.
Yeah.
He gets the win over his opponent, Adriano Moraes, who had previously defeated him and stopped him. There was a bit of a sort of a long delay between this and the rematch happening. DJ inside the fourth round gets it done, stops him with a overhand right, essentially, and then a knee. Your biggest takeaway from that win is what?
That he is that dude. He doesn't need to do anything else, Demetrius Johnson, in theory, to really add to what he is. He's in the upper room. I mean, respects to the guys who are right below that. But I carry five fighters in my upper room of the greatest fighters of all time, whether you care or not. Demetrius Johnson has already been there by the way of the record 11 title defenses in the UFC and being the face, you know, of the history of the flyweight division, almost, you know, not launched in his honor, but it became his. What he's doing now is essentially gravy in some ways. Yet he already won the flyweight tournament, loses viciously, gets stopped for the first time in the first fight against Moraes, and then at 36, comes back. And Luke, not only did he showcase exactly who he is, arguably the most well-rounded and balanced, pure mixed martial artist the sports have ever seen, including what, if it was a video game, what are you in every category? This guy might be the closest in the history of the sport to being like 100 across the board in every category, yes. Like he's rated 99 on Madden. He went out there and he showcased all of that, but he also walked through some shit in the second round. I mean, he was taken down in the first round, yet his offense from the bottom was gnarly, including that using his leg as like a half Nelson to get the elbows off. But in the second round, he went through some legitimate adversity and got taken down, got heavily ground pounded against an opponent who's just physically is so much larger than him, looks like a weight class and a half bigger than him.
Yes.
So at 36, what's my biggest takeaway? That he's not done and that he's still able to dig deep and figure out what went wrong the first time, decode it, go through some shit, and still deliver the boom against maybe one of the better fighters globally who we don't talk enough about in Moraes, who is a three-time champion in this division for one and has won immediate rematches after losing in the past. This is why we love him. Like, Luke, going on the whole, hey, guys, remember, Demetrius is still great. It's like, it seems automatic. Yeah, we already know that. But to go out there and prove it to us one more time on a large stage like this when he's the betting underdog, like... I'm not surprised. Like that, you know, he is who we said he was. One of the greatest to ever do this.
Yeah, here was my biggest takeaway from this and thinking about it. One was that Demetrius is still a pound for pound threat, right? I mean, here he is going up. I mean, the weigh-ins where he had to weigh in at the bantamweight basic level, and Moraes looked like a featherweight out there. I mean, this guy is not competing against natural flyweights, just matter of factly. Okay, that's the first thing I'd say. But the bigger one to me that I think about is if you look at the very best fighters to ever do it in WEC, number one, Demetrius Johnson is surely the best of the ones who are still active. I think it's a guarantee. And I would say he's arguably the best of any of them. Who is the best fighter after WEC to have a strong career, to have a decorated career? I think Demetrius Johnson might fit that bill. You can make some claims. If you're talking about current guys, maybe you might say Jose Aldo, but I don't really think...
I mean, Jose Aldo had a better WEC run.
Fine. We're talking post-WEC. Yeah. Of the WEC vets who are competing, who had competed afterwards, like Uriah Faber, Dominic Cruz, Steve Cantwell...
Mike Thomas Brown,
Donald Cerrone, Anthony Pettis. A lot of them did great things. Who achieved as much greatness? Who is still, at this stage, a pound-for-pound level threat in the way that Demetrius Johnson is? Nobody.
All those other guys are
nobody.
Gone. With the exception of Aldo. All those other guys are long gone.
Long gone.
Faber returned,
Cruz
it was like, oh, shit, old guy's back. He's still one of that
Cruz, group. Cruz is competing against, remember, Cruz beat Demetrius Johnson when Demetrius, again, he was going up a weight class, essentially, at the time. And the point I want to make is Cruz is still competing against, not against bad fighters, against very good fighters, but he just got finished off against someone I would say is sort of, Moraes is, I would consider a worldwide top 10 level talent. And so he got finished inside the fourth by DJ, basically up a weight class, arguably almost
same
two.
Way that he finished DJ's, which was you know, the perfect, beautiful moment there.
That what is the wide this one, Corey? I'm having like all kinds of issues. Which one's the wide? Yes. Okay. Thank you. Anyway.
A little bit of mayhem behind the
scenes. Yes. A little bit of mayhem. The wide switched all of a sudden.
Yeah.
The point I want to make was, BC, do you agree, of the WEC vets since that time, who's had the best career? It might be Demetrius Johnson.
It might be. And I think not only does he still got it, he's still getting better. I mean, Luke, you know,
he
fixed what went wrong the first time around. He was in disadvantageous positions, like being taken down by a bigger guy who's sliding to, like, quarter mount half the time and up in his business. And he arguably landed, especially in the first round, was getting better offense off from the bottom. I mean, he's just constantly adding wrinkles, finding new ways to adapt to the not only the game, but I think adapt to what is natural, is that he's going to slowly be losing this speed and some of these dynamic things that make him great. Not only does it not look like he's lost that, his speed is still top shelf, he's already starting to add those things that'll help that aging process even better. He's not going anywhere. And, you know, adding this title, look, what he's done in the UFC, again, it's already put him in the upper room. It's just cherries on top. But he did go to a different organization that's considered still world class in a bigger weight class and now won a second title, avenging his only knockout loss. I mean, it's goat shit, dude. That's goat shit right there. And it felt great to see it. I don't know if this is him finally getting his victory lap. It's like, you know, when Glover Teixeira just won the championship and lost it, it was like, okay, finally he's getting the victory lap that he deserved, maybe because of his mild-mannered ways. He never really got, he also never won a championship. DJ had already had all the accolades, but never, he was never overly loved and embraced. He's doing more, you know, PR work with one now than he ever did with the UFC, and at least in terms of where it's going and people's reaction to it. I mean, he was on our couch. He was great.
Yeah.
It's great to see him. He made a turn on his own terms to go to one, and he is still succeeding and still matters in the top five or six pound for pound globally at 36.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't ever care or see a future of coming back to the UFC, if there was ever a way for him to make the rounds back and fight the best guys of this generation, he's there. He's right there with him, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, again, 36, up a weight class, finishing inside the distance, still getting better, as BC indicated, still showing new wrinkles. Still hungry to compete. Dude, he's doing everything someone at this stage of his career should not be doing.
Yeah.
And he's doing it all. It's truly, truly remarkable. And I really agree with this, and something I want to get into now, which is, at first it wasn't exactly clear. The immediate benefit to me of the Askren-DJ trade, the immediate benefit went to the UFC. And you could even argue commercially they got more out of Askren than they would have gotten out of DJ because they just weren't a good pairing. But I will say this. Who did more for each organization? They didn't do the same things, but DJ, to me, has really lifted one.
Oh, yeah.
In an enduring way that Askren's big pop didn't necessarily do.
Absolutely.
So you can ask who won the trade. I would just say this. They did different things. DJ's impact has been more significant and longer lasting.
And I think soon it has a chance, at least with one, to really go full bloom of what they originally saw when they went after him. Look, he was the face of them trying to get free agents who still had name value and a lot left in the tank, like an Eddie Alvarez, even Sage Northcutt. And not only is he still here, even though COVID slowed things down for everybody, one is trying to build up momentum for that eventual U.S. debut, where they're not only in American primetime as they were last Friday on Prime, Amazon Prime, in that, you know, prime window there, pardon the pun, But if he can still be the face of it as, you know, one of the best pound for pound in the world in the face of their roster, he can only add to this conversation of who won the trade. Short term, yes, Askren was a personality. They sold T-shirts. He made Jorge Masvidal, even though indirectly, right, and in a lot of ways. But long term, especially when they do come to the U.S. and some of these foundational things that they're setting up now, like the one deal, I don't think until we see that machine full bloom, and if the American casual sports fan accepts one and goes, oh, that's interesting, that's a little different than the others, let me look at that, that's when it really comes to fruition. But DJ showing us, even at 36, he's still going to be right there when that happens.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It took some time for us to really gauge exactly what the full impact would be. Obviously, Askren's now retired. And again, people make this argument like, oh, one got way more out of it. I'm like, here's the thing. One did get a lot out of the Demetrius Johnson trade. They got the guy.
They got some legitimacy, at least from the standpoint of the American MMA media.
Not a doubt about it. But what I'm trying to point out is, this is the other part. It's not just that they got more as a consequence of the trade transaction, such as there was one. But the point I'm trying to make is that the UFC and DJ were not a good pairing. He wasn't exactly what they were looking for. Yes, they're looking for premier talent, but they're not looking for exclusively premier talent. And especially if that premier talent in the way in which they like to promote and package their content doesn't stand out for them in the way that they want. So I think Dana White probably respects Demetrius as a fighter. I don't have any concerns about that, but they just were not a good fit for each other. One and DJ seemed like a much better fit, a much better cultural kind of fit.
Well, because their true currency seems to be the Bushido, the spirit. You know, Chaudhry's an international man
but
of
it's
history.
The, it's the lending of legitimacy that DJ brings.
For sure. And Chaudhry's this guy, I don't even understand him or fully get him either, but he does carry that air of like, this is the home of real martial arts, whether it is or not. And I know, you know, as much as any other organization, they bring in Muay Thai and they bring in other disciplines and package it with the MMA, but he is the perfect American face of what one is trying to project, right?
Yes, that is absolutely
in that
correct.
Regard, yeah.
Now, of course, they would want heavyweights. They would want a lot of other parts of the American market and have access to that. But in thinking about the Askren DJ trade, UFC got what they wanted out of that deal. They didn't know what to do with DJ. They did know what to do with Ben. Ben, by the way, fits much more in the UFC style of things. And they got what they wanted from that. But the lasting impact definitely has been
well, DJ needed a certain level of respect that he wasn't getting, and sometimes respect is just the amount of money people offer you. That's also respect.
But he's
and either
the
way,
guy
he,
there.
Right, he got that respect, and now he is so happy, and I think why people are so happy for him, because they watched him take a stand for his own piece and what he's actually trying to get out of the sport for what he has left. And under that road, he still made it work, and now is a legitimate world champion again. And, dude, Adriano Moraes is tough as shit. That was a fun fight.
Yes.
It went back and forth. Both had their moments.
It's a very good opponent.
Both took on big damage at times. Like, dude, that was a absolutely legitimate win in 2022. And I never considered myself a DJ fan or not one in terms of my fandom either way. Now it's like it's hard not to look at what he's doing and be all in on it.
Right. I completely agree. That one to me was a very rejuvenating win for him. Not that his brand was damaged, but just in pumping some extra life into it. It's like it reminded me of a little bit the way we felt, because he had wins before this, obviously. He'd been winning in one except for the loss to Moraes, because he had the win of Rob Tang and everything else. But I don't know, this win to me felt a little bit like the win that you got when Aldo moved to bantamweight and started looking good. They're not the same, but it feels when these older guys who've been in the game for a long time are still out there dealing at a high level. There's something real fun about that.
Did you like this card? Because I thought it kind of delivered.
Let's talk about that. So here's point number two. Let's talk about the overall card in general. I am so glad you brought this up, BC, because here is my big takeaway from the naming convention is horrific. One on Prime Video One. I mean, what is this?
Officially, it was 161, but what was confusing is the same morning they had 160.
Yes, but the way they labeled it, like on the hashtag, was One on Prime Video One, and the announcer even said it that way. I'm like, fellas, that is the worst way to do it. However, the card itself, it fucking delivered.
Yeah.
It delivered big time. I thought this was one of One's better nights. And I tell you what, BC, is it my imagination, when they went to TNT, the fights didn't do what they were supposed to do. Alvarez lost, and obviously there's more to it than just that. But something felt off about it. On the streaming side on Friday night, it felt much more natural together.
Okay,
why?
But I want to ask you about that much more natural together. There is an elephant in the room, and that's Michael Cervello, who brings a very former one play-by-play guy, right?
He talked during parts
of the broadcast. I'll get to that. Yeah. He was the face, his voice, like Mauro Ranallo for Showtime and Bellator and Strikeforce. His energy is very much the fuel for that. So here's what's interesting is you said it felt a little, not everybody loves that style is my point.
I like that style
Michael
a lot.
Can be very polarizing, right? Remember that first one.
Are you going to make this down to the fact that they brought in an American commentator? Because that was not where I was going.
No. They brought him, he did that first one card on TNT. He said, this is the biggest night in mixed martial arts history. We were like, slow your roll, bro, okay? Yeah. But to some degree, they brought in Brent Stover to be their play-by-play guy. We met him. We know him through CBS. Really nice guy. He's a country singer on the side. I thought he did a very good job.
Well,
first time back in MMA, I think he's got a bright future. What I didn't like is now they're bringing in Chiavello during the fight, and he's giving this analysis, but then in the midst of it, things are happening, and he just starts calling the play-by-play. It's sort of like Luke, like Goldie, like Mo, when you've got a big personality like that, you either go all in and use them or you don't have them at all. Did you like him being interspersed in for rocket fuel shot right into the TV?
He did it especially around the ones where you could tell Brent probably didn't have any relationship to, which was like the Muay Thai fights. So I thought it was partly that, like you're just going to have a guy who just knows a lot more to say. I have talked to commentators who speak the English language with an accent that's not ours, and having issues about getting into the American TV market. American TV executives, I don't know what happened here, but what I've heard numerous times that American TV executives are fearful that Americans will reject any commentator who has one of those accents. So I think they were trying to cover their bases.
That might be true in the long run, who knows, but I do think back to the original spirit of your question, that energy gives a certain feel to the broadcast that the replacement didn't have, and the replacement had more of a pro sports feel. So you asked me, why did this card feel different? I think it was the Chiavello factor. Even though we got little touches of him, I was sort of looking like, you're either all in with him or you're out, right? I didn't like the little cups of coffee was my point.
Okay.
I liked his interview with Hulk Hogan. Remember when he bleached his goatee there?
No, I can't say that I do. So do you think this came down to the fact that this was just a little bit more of an Americanized one?
I'm not saying that's ultimately the true reason, but I think that
which I think is true. I think they did.
I think
do
it
that.
Stood out to me, Luke. I think they're trying to get a different look out. Even though this was airing from Singapore, this was another close-up moment where they needed to deliver. One delivered in the end, and I'm here to say whether I'm friends with Brent Stover or not, I like the guy. I thought that change. I like Rich Franklin in that spot as well. I know he's been there before, but the three-man booth with a little bit more mainstream sports feel to it. I thought it was a pace that I liked better.
Okay, I want to talk about the car, but I love this line of inquiry because I want to tell you why, for the first time, I thought, like, one's whole bit about, like, we're all about Bushido. Get the fuck out of here. Like, we figured out weight cutting. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, DJ did go after and hug Adriano afterwards. That was a lot of, like, Bushido.
Yeah, okay. Right? But that's individual competitor Bushido, which you can see in almost any organization. Or, like,
we're going to get to
Olympic-style drug testing. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. All that is just Fugazi nonsense.
Yeah.
But I will tell you what occurred to me about this, and which has been true for some time, but then watching it in this lens, I think Bellator and PFL have a real challenge on their hands. Because if you look at what ONE does, they are the only, I'm going to call major, meaning outside of UFC. So you were talking about Bellator, ONE, and PFL. Those are typically your bigger three. I mean, you could put Cage Wars and some other ones
in
there.
You can't, really. They're a step below that, which is fine.
Not for Europe, they're not.
We're not in
front of
Europe.
To point out something, BC, which is, they're the only ones who are delivering a truly different MMA experience by virtue of the fact that they've got this, the Muay Thai and the kickboxing fights with the 4-ounce gloves now in the cage. Remember, they used to go back and forth between the ring and the cage. They've kind of systematized it, and here they were able to have, think about what they can do. They had a heavyweight fight with Amir Ali Akbari, probably not USADA's friend anytime soon, right? But they can use him. Bushesha, which they could use, obviously not the UFC could sign him eventually as well. But Panpayak, who got the win in the Muay Thai contest over against Savas Mitchell, one of the most amazing knockouts you'll ever see, got put out with the right hook and then finished off. The leg woke him back up as he went back down. Then there was the Liam Harrison Nongo fight and then Demetrius Johnson. They not only are showing different kinds of fights that are also very exciting, they have access to a lot of different kinds of world-class talent by virtue of the fact that they put on grappling events. You can get high-level grapplers. Or in the case of Muay Thai and kickboxing, they can sign high-level people. And so their roster just has a lot more different and also dynamic elite content in ways that, like, what ends up happening with PFL and Bellator, like, PFL, they're trying, like, the tournament stuff. But Bellator has the overall best roster in terms of, like, top to bottom, what do they've got? But they're positioning as what? Like, UFC light? I'm not saying that's fair. What I am saying is that what ONE is doing for all the other nonsense they come up with, what they're doing in concept is the one that is the true differentiator. Whether they can make use of that, I don't know.
That's fair. That's fair to say, I guess. I really enjoyed this card, but what does it mean for one? I mean, for the Amazon side of it. Yeah. I mean, to me, that the streamer could have been anybody, right?
Yes.
Do you think it's particularly important that at this point, ahead of what will be their big attempt at invading America, is the fact that it's Prime Video more important than if it was any other suitor or streamer?
Here's the thing I was thinking about. So you tell me what you think. Like, on the one hand, you can't just help but notice, hey, Amazon is in directly in the MMA business. Okay, that seems fairly significant. And yet, you've used the Amazon app, right? It's clunky and shitty. Like, it's
well,
not
they did.
Good.
They recently changed it.
Oh, even with the update, it should be on BC's PC.
It's like Hulu Lite now, let's be fair.
Hulu's better than that. HBO Max is the worst one, but neither here nor there. It's not intuitive. Like, Netflix's app is, like, fucking slick. This app is shitty. And here's the other part, too. Like, even when DAZN had Bellator plus other MMA content, there was still a little bit of a nest feathered for MMA. Amazon ain't got shit. Like, there's no, you're not going, like, UFC went to ESPN. They already had Top Rank. They've been in the combat sports business one way or the other for a long time. And hello, it's fucking ESPN. These are storytellers. That's what they do. What can Amazon do? We don't even really know. We know they're powerful. They
can get you whatever you want by tomorrow morning with no shipping costs.
Right. Do they know how to tell stories about fighters? That's what you really need. DAZN never told Bellator stories. That was one of the major problems.
Did you feel like it was presented on the app in your face enough?
No.
If you were, that's what I kept getting
Sylvester Stallone every time I
logged
on.
Yes, but a lot of people liking that film. I haven't watched it yet.
Also, my daughter wants to watch the final scene from School of Rock. She likes that.
Oh wow! Is it in Spanish though?
No, it's in English. Okay. Actually, she requested English.
Oh, wow. We'll say, yes. Wow.
Yeah, your racist heart just warmed.
Well, she is going to an all Spanish speaking school now.
Yeah, all right. So what's wrong with that?
I have no problem with that. I mean, it will speed up her inevitable ending of Kill Whitey, but that's fine, you know? I mean, well, you're already there, you know?
The good news for you is Kill Whitey starts here. I mean, she's going to stab me in the face first. Don't you worry.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, I guess what I'm pointing out is the stream was smooth. The Amazon infrastructure clearly is very good. I just wonder. We saw Bellator suffer at DAZN, not by virtue of not having a good streaming partner in that sense, but they're not storytellers in the same way.
I hear you. I didn't mean to crap on Michael Schiavello. It's a passion in what he does. Would you have liked it better if he was still at the controls? In terms of your viewing experience, I say no, but I respect his game.
I mean, I'll say this. I've not seen any internal research. People believe strange things. If there is internal market research to show that American preferences are affected by the accent of the commentator.
They seem to like Kate Abdo a lot.
Right, but she's British. I don't know what the answer is there. I don't know. But also, she's doing like very international sports like soccer, which is a little bit different. Although MMA is pretty international as well, obviously, but in different ways. The point I'm trying to make is if they have good reason to believe that, then you have to make the decisions you have to make. I tend to wonder how evidentiary backed they are. That's all. And if they're not, then I like Schiavello a lot.
We did two Room Service Diaries episodes today on that couch.
We can stay on course. We actually don't.
No, I want to tell the people. I want to get them excited.
Tell them about it.
We had Corey Anderson. We had AJ McKee on the couch, okay, coming soon. So get ready. Get ready. All right, let's back to the show, Luke.
Last thing about Amazon, it's like, what do they fit in their larger sports portfolio? Obviously, they are trying to grow that as much as possible. They're trying to grow their original programming library as well. They have this new Dragon show, whatever the fuck it is. It's supposed to be, I'm not a dork. I don't LARP in public. The producer's giving me looks here. I don't have phony lightsabers and shit. But
I find that Prime has the best grimy 70s neo-noir flicks of any other streaming site.
They have a lot of
Showtime, actually. That's why we tell you to get the 30 days free. They got really good old school movies in there as well. But I go Prime and Showtime on that, Luke. When I'm looking for something gnarly, like.
Yeah, I mean, when you log on like this, you don't see anything related to one.
But, well, not anymore, Luke.
Yeah, no, but even then, it was a recent event. Like, always have to question, like, what goes above the fold? And even if we were to pick sports, for example, I wonder why they would put it there. I'm just curious on this Monday. Yeah, I mean, it's a clunky, shitty app or service. It's not good. But they're trying to add to the larger portfolio. So the other part is that's good is one kind of tanked on TNT a little bit because they just did very poor ratings. Here, it's the downside is that Amazon, while a big market presence, doesn't do a lot to, they don't know MMA space all that well. They're not going to have like all this original programming around one you can watch, which is really what they need. They need ancillary programming to succeed. On the other hand, because it's kind of a smaller operation, they don't have to have major subscriber numbers in order to be valuable potentially to the service.
And the TNT thing seems like it was rushed, and then it was Wednesday night. It was late at night, too, the start of the card. So I think all that played into that. But, hey, good opening statement from one. Let's see what you got next. They did announce the next card, but I don't feel like my casual ass recognized anybody on it.
Hold on. Boucher, dude, were you not impressed? You were asking
He'll come back and have you seen this shit. Then you can just...
Okay.
Tell me how much he's the man of your dreams, okay?
All right, let's move on to topic number three, if we can. BC, this is the one that I know you've been waiting to discuss all day.
Yes.
BKFC 28. bare-knuckle fighting. Now, we're not going to go through the whole card. There's only two fights of interest to us. But the one that, to me, really stuck out was the BKFC debut of John Dodson. BKFC is bare-knuckle boxing, depending on the rule set, because there's a couple of different fly-by-night operations that are like, hey, why don't you fight in a fucking triangle? Why don't you fight on a hamster wheel? Fight underwater like two dumbasses. Like,
shout out to BYB, all right?
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird
shit.
Bring
your own knuckles, yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make here is, BC, it's becoming its own thing, and you're beginning to see trends. We saw, like, Mike Perry is not the kind of striker that that MVP is, yet he beat him by virtue of, I think, yes, some ability, but also some of the way which the rules favor certain kinds of fighters. But in this particular case, I thought John Dodson looked like a perfect fit for BKFC. He's always had fucking brain-rattling power.
Yes.
Always
been quick.
Too. Always been quick. Still has speed.
Yep.
In a sport where blitzes are, you know, you can just win a fight the whole way like that. And I think the height differentials aren't as big a deal by virtue of some of the, I mean, there's no kicking anymore. Dude. John Dodson might go down as, like, the fucking Muhammad Ali of BKFC.
Well, he has the demeanor, too. He has the personality and demeanor for this, to want this. But also, I mean, look, first fight, he took on a guy we know in Ryan Benoit.
Yes.
So it's MMA guy and MMA guy in a lot of ways. But he blitzed him, took care of him. We'll see the
finished
results.
Finished him inside a minute.
And have you seen this shit shortly? But he does look ripe for this. I mean, you see the celebration. You always know he brought that to the table. He could be a fun character who may be able to age gracefully in this sport, which is an interesting part of it.
I know.
As gross as this is, it's for the wrong person if you're not gnarly enough. But for the right person with the speed and skills, I wonder if he can do some things here.
This is what I mean about the challenge for PFL and Bellator here, right? I mean, they're good organizations that put on good fights. They have lots of good fighters. BKFC is it's a gnarly alternative,
yeah.
But it's a genuine alternative. And they're going to, on the demand side, they're going to be able to sign away fighters. Like John Dodson, in a world where BKFC doesn't exist, for sure he's fighting in one Bellator or PFL. For sure. But in a world where it does exist, now he's got some choices to make. I think the training might be a little bit easier on his body anyway. And, dude, he is naturally suited to fuck people up in that sport.
More to come on BKFC in today's Have You Seen the Shit.
Now, what happened with your...
Oh, I was going to save it till then, but if you want to go to it now, the main event, it was the
we can watch it on Have You Seen the Shit, but Christine Ferreira,
yeah.
Bulldozed Ferreira. Taylor Starling. What happened at the weigh-ins why this was such a big deal?
Well, Taylor got in her face. I mean, look, Taylor Starling has been talking junk for a long time. In fact, Luke, there was a BKFC-level viral video that came out a couple months ago when Taylor, in street clothes, kind of accosted and tried to steal the belt from Ferreira. Ferreira beat... Bretton Hart Beltran in the last fight. So she's been, you know, she's legitimate in this. She's tough. She's got quick hands and she's able, like Dodson, to throw those very fast combinations. But Taylor Starling, she's, even though with a 3-2 BKFC record, she's becoming a face beyond just the OnlyFans and some people's controversy against her site, is that she's tough as shit. She's been in some barn burners.
How much is her OnlyFans?
I don't know, but she was, you know.
Don't you fucking lie to me.
I know, I'm into that stuff. But I will say this. She got bulldozed, Luke, and she basically said no mas after, like, less than a minute. And was like, no, I'm done. I mean, she got served. Ferreira looks like somebody who is, she said it herself. She said, MMA didn't want me, boxing didn't want me, but this is where her skills, her demeanor, she's got a really cool look. She's actually pretty good down the mic as well. You know, it's like these other girls have kind of made her, but she's also pretty damn legit, so... Look, this round robin of these two, Bretton Hart Beltran, Rachel Ostovich, PVZ, I mean, there's something fun going on there in that specific weight. What weight class is that? Is that flyweight or something?
I have to look up weights. I don't have it in front of
me.
But, dude, you love BKFC in ways that I
would. So I don't actually love the content. I just like the personalities of the fighters and that they're allowed to kind of become like these pro wrestling characters, yet it's real. And I like the trash talk and I like the shit. There's another BKFC weigh-in controversy that we're going to get to in Have You Seen This Shit? That's why
you are desperate to get to Have You Seen This Shit.
Okay, dude, we are coming off among the most dead combat weekends in a long time. That's one true. Week removed from maybe the busiest one that I can remember, okay?
All right, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can just move on to the next topic.
I mean, I'm trying to keep us going, Luke. This is we're the opposite of our normal role because you said, BC, I got a heart out. And I'm like, Luke, I got really good shit I need to show you.
All right. With that in mind, let's go to topic number four. I don't have a ton to say about this, but we did want to put it on the record. Haseem Rahman Jr., who you might have thought was just gone from the story and the headlines, is actually back. Why? He's not fighting Jake Paul. He is apparently fighting Vitor Belfort. Yes, Vitor Belfort in a boxing match. Lou's going to be on October 15th in the U.K. It's part of DAZN's
their new
X-Series.
Yes, which is Misfits Promotions, which is KSI, who fought twice over the weekend. We'll see more on that to come.
BC, what the hell? Do we like this? Do we hate this?
Ultimately, we hate this. I mean, if you watched highlights, and you'll see them soon from that card. I mean, it's YouTubers. It's not, you know, whatever. But this is actually kind of a legitimate, I don't want to say legitimate fight, but in the celebrity sense, Belfort's one of the most, he's 44, he's probably taking whatever he wants. He's among the most dangerous and fun guys in that celebrity. You know, he just fought Evander. Who knows what that actually meant? But
that
he's
was,
going against a guy who's actually legit in Haseem Rahman Jr., yet has underachieved so much that he stumbled his way into this larger celebrity window. This may end up being a really good fight, and it's part of DAZN and KSI's new promotion, kind of this X series. What does X mean? Extreme, or does it mean just not boxing? It's not real boxing, but it's pretty damn close, Luke. This is pretty damn close. There's no YouTubers involved.
This is pretty damn close. I'll say this. You're right to say it's weird because is this on the level as like a real professional boxing match you might see on Showtime or Top Rank and ESPN? No, it's not that.
No.
Right? It's not that. But it's definitely better than KSI fighting Lyft and Uber drivers.
Right. Like, you would think that, I don't know what the hell's going on with Triller and their triad thing, but you think this would be the perfect main event for that, right? But it's not. It's on something
But it's
different.
A real boxing match. That's the other weird part about it. So, like, it's this tweener that's not, like, the super shittiest version of things, but it's definitely not the real up and up.
But if you're Haseem Rahman, you've got to be so happy what the Jake Paul debacle, which is really being blamed at Haseem for how he handled the weight despite signing the contract, it now made him a player in this other avenue of boxing. It's just bizarre, but...
You know, I was like, when he did that phony weigh-in the same day that the real weigh-ins were supposed to take place after the fight had been canceled, I'm like, dude, this is kind of sad. Was it sad? It seemed like maybe, I don't know, he kept his name just circulating long enough.
I mean, Vitor was supposed to fight Oscar De La Hoya, who's now admitting that he's happy he pulled out of that fight with that injury. Remember when Oscar
De La Hoya?
Yeah, which allowed Evander in there. But
he was writhing in agony from COVID in the hospital?
I mean, yeah, that was absurd. Is Belfort in trouble in this fight? I don't know. I don't really
know. Well, that's the other part, too. It's like, okay, you guys, I put my vote on the record. I thought for sure Rockman was going to beat Jake Paul. Like, for sure I thought he was going to beat Jake Paul. I don't know if he should. He's a better boxer, but Vitor is Vitor. And, like, Rockman is, again, characteristically unprofessionally somewhat unreliable.
It's
a fucking weird one.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of worth checking out, I guess, in a morbid way. But yeah, it was an interesting headline. It surprised me.
Wow. Efficient BC. EBC.
All day I've been trying to have extra fun, and you were like pushing against it. You know what I mean? I'm like, yo, Stata Sabatella should basically wrestle on this table. And you're like, they're going to break all our cameras. They're going to break my shit.
No, the problem was, look, Bellator took, you know, they took them there to Aero Show first, and he got all the good stuff. And
but do you realize you gave me multiple, like, disappointed dad-to-son warnings about if I go too long today and cost you to be late for your train, like, shit? And
I'm like,
done nothing to contribute to the idea of you being late. You've been scolding me all morning like an old bitch.
Yeah, you like that term.
And now you want me to waste the fuck around and go long?
No, you go. I'm just surprised. Can I express surprise?
Wow. Yeah, I changed my phone case, by the way. No more.
Yeah,
because
you did.
Because I got, you know, this is more artistically, you know, in my zone in terms of my colors right here. Look at this. It's artsy with the one eye, you know? But, you know, I was getting mostly in my house, I was getting harassed too often for my Kate Spade case, even though it has male power colors of black.
That's a weird thing to
gold.
Admit on air and be like, yo, my kids were just clowning.
They were clowning me. They were straight up clowning me. So, you know, I went a little artsy, Luke.
I like it, actually.
I've got new paintings, too. But
it looks like the cover of the Metallica album Load, which was like blood and semen.
Okay. more of like a Reload fan. Actually, more of a Saint Anger fan with a Pots and Pans drum kit. You know, that was great. That was innovative shit there, Lars.
Like, where were you banging on there, Lars? Like, whatever I could find in the back of a Big Lots dumpster. Yeah. All right, let's go to topic number five. BC,
yes.
Walk us through. Richard Comey, Pedraza.
I like this play. It turned out to be... did you watch it at all?
I watched the highlights, yes.
All right. It was a fun fight to watch. It was at a high level. There was action, but it was strategic changing. Look, what was it for? They're both coming off big defeats.
It was supposed to be a rejuvenating
It was
fight.
A rejuvenating opportunity for the winner to get back into the title conversation at lightweight. These guys have only lost of late to, like, the Lomachenko-Teofimo level. But, Luke, they both showed out. It showed you at this point in their career, both in their 30s, they needed this win. I love the body attack from Pedraza, who landed more punches overall, landed 46% of his power shots. Normally means you automatically win a fight when you land that. And the body punch numbers were wide, but Comey did what Comey does. He fights in like an old-time looking style, aggressive all the time, sacrifices technique at times to be aggressive, but doesn't get too reckless, just gets a little reckless. They were perfect dance partners to put on a good-ass chess match that was manly. If anybody deserved the edge, I thought it was Pedraza. I think all they deserve now is probably a rematch again in the main event because the fight was that good. Nobody really was allowed to advance with a win.
That's all I'm saying.
Like, it's kind of a win for both, even though it's a letdown when it's a draw.
Right.
But this might be rejuvenating for both in that return.
That's what I was going to say. Because it was this way, is your impression that an automatic rematch is probably what's going to happen?
I mean, are people going to overly call for it? Like, the fight was pretty damn entertaining. Not fight of the year, not something like that. Maybe they both benefit from it and go their own ways and kind of take the advantage that would have come. Maybe it's a rare situation where both didn't lose, they both win, they move on. But right. I enjoyed it at the end of the day. I really liked that fight.
All right, and were you promised?
Pedraza's fun as shit, dude. He's going to let his hands
go. He has a little more life than I thought he would.
Yeah.
That was the issue I took from that. Comey, too. Well, Pedraza seemed to me a little bit more firepower than I guess I thought I was anticipating. So I guess we'll see what happens next with them. Also, on that card, that fucking murder from
Richard Torres Jr. Coming up, and have you seen the show?
Well, this whole show, I'm like... Okay. All right. Well, that in mind, let's go now to DMs from Donk, your questions. We put up a post on Instagram every Sunday. You guys fill it up. The producers pick them. BC, are you ready?
This better be good, guys, all right?
I didn't see any on-screen graphic, by the way. There it is. There we go. Hee-haw. We got viewers that are male. All right. BC, from @Christian_DigHero.
That's Christian DeGuerro who wore... Oh, Luke.
Dig Hero.
Luke, okay. You weren't here for this.
No.
This is that amateur fighter who asked if he could wear
our
logo on his trunks. He wore it right on his crotch. It said Morning Combat, and he went out there in his fifth amateur fight, and he kicked that dude's ass and got the win. The dude that trained with Tony Ferguson with the MK clothes.
His coach messaged me. I asked him.
He was at the live show.
Hey, coach, where's the footage?
He was at our live show. You probably don't remember because you were a couple margaritas deep, but he was. I love Christian DeGuerro. I hope one day that you and I can corner him.
That would be fucking amazing.
He never asked me.
He would lose, but...
he gets the Coach Latorre thing. He knows what kind of support we could bring to him.
All right, so great question. First of all, congratulations, young man. Phenomenal job. And thank you for repping MK, even though we didn't pay you a dime. All right. Well, he's amateur, right? So it doesn't matter. He can't be paid. All right. Here we go. Both Whitaker and Vittori spelled wrong, the last two losses have been against Izzy. Where do you see both guys going with a win this weekend? Of course, they'll be fighting in Paris.
That fight this weekend?
September 3rd, yeah.
Whitaker versus... I hadn't even about that
in
fight.
In Paris. Cyril Gane is
back. I like that fight a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, look, didn't Whitaker show us against Adesanya that he's that close to being the champion?
Yeah, here's the thing, dude. Vittori is, I think, what the hell is Vittori now? 28, 29? The thing is, like, the answer is who's better? Who is shown to be a better fighter?
Whitaker. Who should win this fight?
Whitaker.
Who has more to gain with a win in terms of immediate placement back in the title picture? Whitaker. I mean, that's a big win for Vittori. Without question, he is allowed to make some moves. But I think Whitaker goes right back to the top with a win. Because don't forget, he had to go the long way and win three in a row against Hammers after losing the title.
Yeah, Vittori will be, he's 28, he'll be 29 in the end of September. Who has more? Yeah, the answer is Whitaker. But I will tell you, we're talking about a signature win on his career. He's got the Paulo Costa win, Vittori does. Fucking beating Rob Whitaker on your resume at middleweight, that would be a huge win
for
him.
I've seen the future. I didn't want to tell you this because you're such an Adesanya guy, but I've seen the future, okay?
Okay.
He beats Pineda.
Okay.
But then he immediately moves up to light heavyweight.
Okay.
And Robert Whitaker, with a win against Vittori this weekend, gets to fight for the vacant championship. Now,
who?
That's the only thing I couldn't see. I couldn't see the image of who it was against.
Dylan Danis.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Could be. Who would it be against?
I'm not sure.
At that point, Pineda would be coming off a loss.
Yeah.
Cannonier's coming off a loss and has a... Who's Cannonier for? He's got a big fight coming
up. He's fighting Sean Strickland, but they're both coming off of losses. There's Brunson, Pineda, Whitaker, Cannonier,
Vittori. All right, it's going to be the winner of Strickland and Cannonier.
It might be.
Right?
Yeah, it might
be. It could end up being Sean Strickland against Robert Whitaker for the vacant title. I'm just telling you that I've seen things, okay?
Okay.
I mean, have you... what did I watch yesterday?
Pornography.
No.
Violent pornography.
No. I forgot the name of it, so who cares anyway. All right, let's keep it going.
All right, from at Noah Preschel. Noah P. Reschel. I don't know how the fuck you say these names. Why hasn't Chandler versus Poirier been officially announced
yet? What's going on here?
Do you still think the fight is happening? So Dustin Poirier tweeted Grubaka Hitman saying he's fighting November 12th. What he didn't say was who he's fighting. He just goes, I don't know who the fuck's going to be across the cage. I'm going to be there.
That's NYC. It's going to be Pineda versus Adesanya in the main event. It's going to be Zhang Weili, right? Same card against
Carlos Esparza.
Carlos Esparza for the championship. If this fight becomes the big three, it's going to feel again like those first two MSG cards felt. You know what I'm talking about? 205 and 217.
Yep. Huge cards.
I was lucky to be there both nights. They were just massive cards that delivered in so many ways. But having those three pillars of like main event quality fights right there, Luke, give it to me. That's what I want.
Yeah. Why hasn't it been announced?
Shenanigans, probably. Is one of them going to fight Conor instead? I mean, what the hell's going on?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, what the hell's going on?
And Tony's up at 170, so that's not relevant. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm not sure what the issue is there.
Dude, why are we not talking about... I know we talk too much about Conor. Every show does. Why are we not talking about why the hell is he not back? Is this the normal time schedule?
That was a bad injury. Yeah, it's
and did he post a video of him getting fellatio on his IG? It looked like it. I mean, I don't...
Well, if you had that boat and that kind of money...
Okay, Gaff is saying it is official, it was fellatio.
It was fellatio?
Yeah. Wow. Was that D?
Well, that's what fellatio means.
No, her first name, D, not on the D.
Okay, I'm not.
No, that's what I meant. I didn't know if you were doing like a setup for like, D's nuts. I don't know where you were going with that. Okay?
You're like, does fellatio involve you're like, penises? I'm like, typically.
BC, I've got a pink typically. Slip and your BOFA papers. Yes.
BOFA? okay, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to talk about anyone's wife, but or whatever. But in any case,
I mean, who are you, Conor McGregor, talking about Habib's wife? I mean, really, you know?
You know, it's just not a thing I do. Yeah. But I was going to say, yeah, he probably was getting blown. Who knows?
I mean, wow. Okay.
All right. From at Hirschbar 007, who has or had the best jab in MMA? Well, I can tell you that the first time I remember a boxing coach praising a fighter's jab, and not one he had trained, was when, at least at that point anyway, was when Freddie Roach said he thought the jab of BJ Penn was really good. I remember
BJ's
that.
Was great. Was GSP's better, I think?
GSP's, I think, eventually became better, but as a pure boxing jab, no, BJ's was better. Because BJ, like, he could wrestle, obviously, he was very good defensive wrestling. He had very good defensive wrestling. There was a lot more, like, intentionality about mixing the game up with a jab.
That was a good transition, by the way, from Connor's BJ to BJ Penn. Connective tissue.
Well, I just pulled the plug on
this. Okay, all right. We had a good run.
You just pulled the plug.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, point I'm trying to make is, yes, I thought that was the first time I remember hearing that. Who had a good jab? It was a good jab in MMA. Max, Adrian Yanez, Volkanovski. Who else?
I'm trying to think of who stands out as being known for it, meaning they were able to use it so effectively that it almost became
like a
weapon.
Punishing jab.
I mean, obviously GSP is the poster boy for this question. Look what he did to Koscheck's eye in the rematch. I don't hate John Jones's jab. He's not, he doesn't get credit huge for his hands, Luke, but he learned how to make that jab and that reach, of course.
Yep.
Really work for him.
Yes. The only issue I have in challenging that is not that his jab is poor, but if you watch the tape on John enough, what you begin to see is the real And the real key to his game is he has what I call in striking single shot high variance. If he throws here, the next one's here. If he throws here, the next one's here. If he throws on the middle, the next one loops. I'm exaggerating or simplifying it. But if you watch, everything is a pattern where the pattern is constantly changing. And so he does have a good jab, especially when he uses it. But there's a lot of times where he's going all over the place, and he doesn't have that consistent, like, thundering
Rory McDonald.
Jab. In
there. Rory McDonald had a very good jab. Yep. He could win fights sometimes with just that, which can be
Great. Who's got, like, your favorite jab in boxing? Who's got, like, a piston? Spence?
Spence's jab
Spence's, I mean, he fucked Ugas.
I mean, no one statistically was more volumeful and accurate with their jab than Gennady Golovkin over the course of his career, of recent memory that I can remember for, like, CompuBox numbers. Gennady's jab was so heavy, so accurate, and would use it to cut off the ring and get inside on you. You know, I mean, obviously, Lennox Lewis had a great jab.
Yeah.
I mean, Larry Holmes is known for the jab. There's been so many, but, you know, Floyd, amazingly, kind of went away from leaning on the jab as much in the second half of his career, especially as he had to deal with hand pain. And really began to use the lead right hand a lot in the second half of his career, but he had ridiculous speed and accuracy. Shakur Stevenson jumping in is gaff. Yeah, for sure, man. But there's some guys who, you know, in some ways that's all they have, and they live and die by it, and you can make a career off of a damn jab if it's as great. If you really use it the right way. In MMA, because of the other factors, you can't always commit to it as much. That's why when GSP did that to Kostchuk, it was like, damn.
Yeah.
He did that whole fight with the control and the jab and just put it on him.
All right, from Jonathan.
Oh, Cannoneer has a good jab.
Cannoneer
has a very good jab.
From Jonathan to Doreen. I don't know how you say these fucking names. Who was the person in MMA and boxing you were each most excited to see and instead completely flopped, was derailed?
Is this one of those don't meet your heroes type of questions? Because we've talked about this before.
Built up as somebody big and then the whole thing kind
of... What you mean is this? Is the spirit of the question? Who did you finally meet in boxing and MMA?
It just says who was the person. Like maybe you would just wanted to see, and then when it was time for them to, like, their career didn't, like, pan out.
I still don't understand the question at all.
Okay, I'm gonna read it.
Okay.
Who was the person in MMA or boxing you were each most excited to see, and instead completely flopped, was derailed? Maybe it was one night.
So the question is more in line of which prospect that you thought was going to be can't miss and you couldn't wait to see them.
Not necessarily a prospect. There's somebody you were excited to
see. Yeah, I don't understand the question at all. We're going to have to go to the next one.
You do this all, like, with assignments.
No, I don't get it. I just don't understand. I don't get it.
You do this bit where you pretend to not know. You know. Who was a fighter at any point in their career you were excited to see? You went
in
to go,
person or on TV?
Probably on person, or make it a point to watch.
Okay.
Make it a point to watch, whatever that means, in person, whatever. You watched them compete, and that night, shit went awry for them.
Oh, so I hadn't seen them before. I just had heard rumblings.
You may have seen them before, but for that night, you were excited to see them.
You know, I don't know, Luke. They're saying, I don't think the person who wrote the question even understands the question. I don't understand what they're really trying to get us to say.
I mean, it's not that difficult, though.
Okay, then you can answer it, Luke, okay?
I'm trying to think of somebody I went to go see and then shit went awry.
Aaron Pico opening night?
That's a bad one.
Is that the right answer?
Yeah,
right there?
You and
I were both.
I can also say I didn't think much of it, but watching Couture get flatlined by Machida, like, I knew Machida was gonna win, but that was like, that went way worse than I thought it would.
Yeah.
That one also, like, I kind of had a small idea Rashad might win against John. You never, at that time it was a little bit maybe, and then it didn't go his way at all.
No, it didn't.
Who?
See, he said, Gaff said CM Punk.
No, I didn't have high expectations.
No.
I didn't have high expectations.
All right.
For that. Almost done with these, BC, which you are just, dude, I just want to point out, you're dying to hijack the show.
You're
making us run through all the shit that's not exclusively about you. All right, here we go. From @Mark_Dibs. How do you think, BC, a fight between Oliveira versus Edwards would play out? Would they be good dance partners? Now, remember,
how much
Oliveira,
is that size
155.
Difference? Would I be surprised at the size difference?
Leon is not a small guy, but he's not
he's long.
Big welterweight.
He's long, though.
He's lanky. He's lanky. And he's also, like, he's not Kamaru Usman strong, but I don't, like, he obviously has a record of success against 170ers. It's not like he gets super muscled.
You gotta favor Leon just because we're not sure what Oliveira's gonna look like at that weight.
And also, like, dude, what does Edwards have more than anything else that's just always good?
High kicks.
No, always good. They're not always good. His fucking defense.
Yeah.
You know, again, okay, Nate Rock.
He doesn't get handled, yeah.
Like, dude, you just don't see people, except for Kamaru, you know, a little bit. They don't manhandle him very much. Like, he doesn't get hit very clean very often. You're going to say, what about the Nate ones? But these are, like, in a long course of fighting, many rounds, many minutes against many world-class opponents. He just doesn't get hit a lot. In fact, I can look at his numbers.
With a stronger antiperspirant this morning. You ever get caught in one of those moments?
Dude, every morning.
Yeah.
Dude, there's most mornings I'm like, did I brush my teeth today? Like, I don't know. Let me look at the numbers here quickly for Leon Edwards, and then we can go to BC's feces, which you are dying to do.
Well, we've put a lot into the microphone.
Yeah, so, I mean, this dude is, you know, how many years into his career in the UFC, and he only absorbs 2.28 strikes per minute. That's not high. That's low. That's very low. You know, so this is what I'm talking about. He just doesn't get hit a lot. And his takedown defense, not bad, 70%. But again, against all of these guys, that's just ridiculous. So,
Do you feel more pressure when someone pays for a question in your live chat that you have to give a long, detailed answer?
You're very upset about this process.
And I love how insecure it makes you. Asking you about your processes helps us grow as friends.
I love how insecure it makes
you. I don't think it makes me insecure.
It does nothing but that. You can't deal process with this idea at all.
Critiquing you doesn't make me... It's not because of my
insecurities. No, it's not critiquing me. It's finding an issue that you find... incomprehensible, and then you don't ever reflect on why it's incomprehensible to you.
I think you're just sore about my jabs over the price of your haircuts. I think it's catching up.
I don't like paying that much money either. All right, what's up? All right, time for BC's Feces.
Do we have any more donk questions, or is that it?
That's it.
All right. Let me ball my energy to bring this home, Luke. You know what we do every weekend on Sundays? I sit in my office alone with the lights off, and I...
Hey, could it be hotter in here?
Yeah, it's so hot. I'm melting in front of your eyes. I'm wilting. I scoured the globe yesterday for the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs and lows, the in-betweens in combat sports and beyond. And Luke,
look at Jake looking at you like a lemur sucking on a lemon.
I've said it before. I've talked up the batch, and then, you know, maybe we underperformed in our reactions to it and it just didn't work today.
All right, well, let's see what
you got. It's an all-star batch, and here we go. It's called
BC's Feces.
Have you seen this shit? Oh God. Oh, I'm big meat. Call me Larry Hoover.
I think isn't it Big Meech?
Yeah, Meech. Yeah. I'm Meech. Call me, Corey.
If you tell, like, it's not like I'm, you know, I'm anything other than what I am. But if you tell BC, like, yo, BC, you're like extra white. He's like, no, the fuck, I'm not. I'm cool. I'm with it. Big Meat, Larry Hoover.
One championship in Singapore, 161, and we start Luke with same Apech Fairtex with the one hitter. Quitter, yeah, as Rashad would say.
Okay, this is not that.
Oh, can we go back to that, please? Yeah, whoever's working. Not, I mean, this is not what we asked for, guys.
There we go. Jesus. God.
I mean, that's vicious shit, Luke.
This is what I mean, dude. Like, oh, fucking. Woo. I mean, he put everything he had into that left hand. Fucking. This is what I mean, BC. It's a different product, and they have access to more world-class talent as a consequence.
Well, we talked up DJ's incredible knockout. Oof. Of Adriano Moraes. Here's DJ after the fight voicing, calling the highlights of his own finish.
Booty. Ooh. Kick yeah! Booty. Ooh. Kick yeah!
Look, he got jiggy with it, I think is what he said.
That's you ordering Thai on Uber Eats.
Yes, indeed. DJ deserves to allow himself to make those weird noises. He earned it, all right? Speaking of DJ, Luke.
When did you make O-face noises like that?
Oh, God, on the toilet, for sure, Luke.
Someone destroyed the car.
Yeah, it was you, okay? Like that time we had Mediterranean, I shut that thing down. Here's Shatri Sid Yong Tong shutting down
could
DJ.
Could that belt be bigger?
Dude, that's the biggest belt in combat sports, right?
I kind of dig it, to be honest with you.
I love DJ playing it up, too, by taking that fall.
The gold looks like those cheap coins that have chocolate in them. You know what I'm talking about?
Dude, like, is it realistic that Chatri could cast us on one championship Apprentice Edition?
I would only do that show if I could just fire everybody. Just walk in, just you're fucking fired. Get the fuck out.
Okay. Speaking of this, they had a card earlier in the morning, our time. It was called 1-160. Here's Christian Lee, Luke. You know him, just 24 years old.
He's very good.
Getting a sweet revenge the savage way by stopping OK Ray Yoon.
I believe some of these were illegal.
So, Luke, Lee had lost the fight to Ray Yoon to lose the title, comes back in his next fight to win it back. 24 years old, a star in the making, this guy? Christian Lee, yes. I mean, this is brutal.
He's very good. He's very good.
Yeah.
Very athletic, quick. He's awesome.
Those knees are nasty, dude. You can't do that where I come from.
Is that considered fighting like a sissy or something?
Here's Zabistian Kadistam.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Knocking out Yuri Lapikus with a brutal uppercut.
Damn. I'm telling you, dude, one had a day on Friday, man.
Dovletsan Yagshimuradov here.
Dovletsan Yagshimuradov.
I mean, look at this. Oh, damn, damn.
Yeah, he did the old testifying.
Sebastian Kadistam, I believe.
Shut him off completely. What a shot.
Wow. One more from one. Here's your chance to get All-City Kick. All-City Kickboxing over Bushesha Marcus Almeida.
Yeah, outside Ashy.
This was against Luke Kirill Grishenko. How nasty? Like, is it Dylan Danis level nasty? This
dude, Dylan Danis doesn't hold a candle to Bushesha in terms of accomplishment. Okay. Dylan doesn't have any major. Dylan was, so people understand this. Dylan was part of what was called at the time the Marcelo Garcia Brown Belt All-Star Team. He had a series of brown belts who were all really, really good. He was one of the very best ones. John Satava, and there were some other ones. Manchur Kara. And before he maybe got his black belt, but then he got kicked off the team. He didn't really have a dynamic black belt campaign. He didn't win a bunch of titles. Bushesha won like nearly fucking 20 world titles. Like, it's not even, and he has a gold medal in ADCC. Like, not even ballpark equivalent. Not even ballpark.
You see, DeSantis was trying to push for no-gi matches only, and then people were like, yo, dude, what? Like, you know.
Ron DeSantis? Are you making a stupid political joke?
Luke, let's keep it going with Zone Boxing from the UK. It's KSI. Look, sometimes you got to shoot
KSI out here fighting.
Sometimes you got to shoot it from the four-point circle.
Fighting some Lyft drivers.
Here's some awkward-as-shit stuff between KSI and his second of two opponents on Saturday, the well-traveled Luis Pineda.
See. Vamos! Vamos! Vamos!
Let's go!
Vamos!
Bill, that's a little racist.
Vamos!
That's how my wife wakes me up.
So technically, Pineda is a pro boxer, but his record is like...
Well, what
lose
does that mean?
Yeah. So the first of two fights, KSI put it on someone named Swarms. Should I know Swarms?
Is he like, was he kicked out of the Wu-Tang Clan or some shit?
Here's Raekwon. No, it's a KSI depositing Swarms to the canvas. He would then defeat Luis Pineda by stoppage in the second of these cab driver fights.
Well, he looks like a world-class athlete. I can say that.
He's got moves, yep. I mean, but after doing it, Luke, here's KSI. He still had some energy left after beating the two guys.
Yeah, I mean.
Can we run the video there? Can you show? Yeah, there we go.
That's nice. I mean, nobody cares.
It was weird. This whole thing was weird.
So he fought two guys in one night. Now, was the idea he was supposed to fight someone else and then they pulled out or some shit at the last minute? Corey's like, yo, I've been following that shit closely.
Luke, there was another guy in the card named Slimmy Slim. Some
who didn't know Slimmy
fucking
Slim?
Nerd bomber. Here's his. He dropped some bars after the win. Let's check it out.
Okay, this is going to be stupid.
Do you think you're top? Do you think you're top five? Where do you see yourself?
I'm the motherfucking top dog, boy. It's the motherfucking hitman. I'm the shit, man. I pull up with extended.
Yeah, he is the shit.
That was me, man. After I blew up that commode in there.
All right, you mentioned Top Rank Boxing in Tulsa, Oklahoma. On the undercard, so it's 2020 U.S. silver medalist at heavyweight, Richard Torres Jr., who's like 4-0
as a pro. Here comes the Olympian.
This was murder.
This was bullshit matchmaking against this guy, Canedo. And, dude, he put it on him.
That fucker needed some. I feel bad for
him. It's hard, Luke, because Torres has, what, like four pro fights, so he's not going to be fighting killers.
That's right.
But he's also being pushed on television because he's a, you know, an Olympian.
Yeah.
Luke, do you want to see the alternate replay of this shot?
Yeah,
remember,
dude,
when adult movies used to let you do that on DVD? You can change the alternate. You can
bro,
change the
this
replay.
Was, this should be illegal. I mean, what the, look at that shit.
Shades of Tommy Morrison, Ray Mercer right there. Jeez, I mean, you can't blame Torres, right? But, you know.
Torres had a job to do, and he did it. The commission should really reflect on sanctioning a fight like
you
that.
You know what heavyweight looked great, though, in the co-main event? Maybe we should start getting fired up about 22-year-old Jared Big
dude,
Baby Anderson.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I know we sped past this. I had notes about it in the rundown. This fucking guy... He's wearing like he's a carpet salesman, like he just wants to show
he's
you.
He's wearing
a bunch
like
of
yoga
samples.
Pants with a carpet hanging off of it. Well, here's the deal.
He can fight his ass off.
He's 6'4". He's now 12-0 with 12 KOs, and this was against a guy with a 24-2 record. So it wasn't like a jabron like the last fight.
Yeah, no.
And look at, so here's the deal. He added Kay Caroma, who used to be the U.S. Olympic coach, as his assistant.
Out of D.C.
And look at that craft. Look at that short little.
Yeah,
right
dude.
Hand.
He looks like. You know, a lot of these heavyweights are really big. He looks to me like he's kind of at that two. What was he? What did he weigh in at? 240, 250?
Yeah. He's an athlete, Luke.
He's an athlete. That's exactly what he is.
Look at this right hand coming up right now. Bam. Dude,
he just sent him to the land.
So I don't have it here, but he came out dressed in a prison jumpsuit with his arm shackled to his legs. I thought he was doing like a bit, but I guess it was a tribute to his brother.
I did see that. His brother was in jail.
I didn't have I pulled the Luke Thomas, no volume. I was listening to 70s records, like in the eighth row.
It's so much better, right?
So 70s records from the eighth row?
No,
so
just good. Not listening to the fight commentary.
Yeah, no, well, sometimes. Let's go over to BKFC 28 in Albuquerque. We got a lot. First of all, look at these fucking white guys. This is not doctored, Luke. This was the weigh-in photo.
Well, this seems like a very normal place.
Look at the guy in the middle, too.
It's like, I mean, you could mistake this for a gynecologist office, the supermarket.
Old-ass Dave Schaller in the middle has aged disgracefully.
Boy,
right?
Dave has really had. He's been ridden hard and put away wet.
He's with the 76ers. He's doing great. Speaking of this, so, Luke, here's the weigh-in controversy, if there is some. They brought some bestiality out at BKFC. Let's see this face-off.
Okay.
After I knock you out, I'm gonna f your door. Just so you know. It's gonna be my fault. I'm gonna get your evidence.
Did he say I'm gonna fuck your dog?
After I knock you out, I'm gonna f your effing dog so he knows. What'd he say? So he knows who his owner is?
Seems a bit much.
I mean, that's. Oh, he said that's the only bitch you're gonna get. Luke, this was shades of Mike Tyson saying, some really bad things about jail to that reporter that time. Remember, after he bit Lennox Lewis's ankle in the press conference.
What did he say? Like, I'll sex with you until you love me.
Yes.
Then he said a very naughty word.
This got dark. This bestiality shit got dark.
Well, but, I like how the camera guy or the editor was just like showed the fucking dog afterwards, being like, "What the fuck did I do?"
Luke, Christine Ferreira in the main event, as we talked about, defending her title, 47 seconds against Taylor.
Dude, this was ugly.
Luke, Taylor can fight. I'm telling you, she's been a part of some of the best fights this division has brought.
This lady, Ferreira, she is brutal.
If the video kept running, Taylor looked like she was crying and asked out, but then the referee brought her back in. They restarted the fight. She got lit up with another combination, and then she waved off. She did a no mas, basically.
Holy shit.
But considering the trash talk between them and considering Taylor's track record at being a brawler here, she got handled by Christine Ferreira. So.
I've seen enough on this one.
Remember
Good
I mentioned
Lord.
Casey Robb would be in the opener on this card, the preliminaries, and she had given Lorisenko her only MMA fight and had lost badly. Here's Jamie Hinshaw putting it on Casey Robb, Luke.
So Jamie's the one in...
The multicolored, yes.
Good Lord. Dude, this sport, man, if you are just... I mean, you could be a donk, but if you're a tough as shit donk, you can do something in this sport.
I think it's Cassie Robb. My apologies. I think it's Cassie Robb. Shout out to Cassie Robb. Well traveled, but... Yeah, Luke, she got it put on her. You mentioned John Dodson. He blew away Ryan Benoit in 40 seconds. Yeah. Here's the footage. Look at this. Can switch stances, can square up and throw.
Oof. Oh, dude, he's always had big power.
Big teabag power from Kerry Hartley right there, the referee. No count, just sit right on top of him, Luke.
What is your method of stopping fights? I just put my testicles on him.
Well, the first thing I do is toss his salad, right? With jelly or... No, you don't remember that from the Christmas.
I just want to point out, you started the show being like, yo, what'd you think of that guy's dick when it was your wreck?
Okay, all right. Luke, did you know John Dodson's brother also made his BKFC debut on the card?
Are you being racist, or is this actually his brother?
Eric Dodson needed 23 seconds to get the stoppage. That's Eric with the blue hand wraps, Luke.
I got to say, don't love his stance as much as his brother.
He is officially the brother of John Dodson, and look at that. All right.
He's got hands, too, though.
What if they fought each other? Would you beat off with that? BKFC probably would.
BKFC would just, you know, any kind of, like... Loser has to, you know, guy would fight his divorced wife or something.
Luke, let's go to other news. This made the rounds. Nate Diaz, in the new era of marijuana use, smoking out the USADA employee and not getting in trouble.
Dude, that motherfucker he left there playing Welcome to Jamrock.
Oh, yeah.
In his fucking whatever car he has.
What do you think about Nate's artwork back there? He's got a Bob Marley poster.
You know, he's living a little bit more like he's in his 20s than in his late 30s.
I'm not mad at him. If you've seen my office, Luke,
get the Bob Marley there on the ground.
Room. Yeah.
Hey, what's up with your cable management, Nate? You got more.
Okay, Luke. He's Nate Diaz. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Look, go back. Wait, go back one more time. Look over the wall. He's got that old school pull up thing that's supposed to work on the door jam that never works. Right there. Go back up if you can. Just let it play out if you want. There, there. Look at that shit.
Oh, yeah.
You can get that thing at Target for like $12.
Oh, yeah, you can. All right, Luke. Real recognized Real again this weekend when Hasbulla caught up with Shaq. Dude, did you see this?
Yeah, I'm not into the Hasbulla humor. It doesn't do anything for me.
I wasn't until I watched the Sunday conversation that Barstool did, you know.
It was okay. It was great. That's the best one I've seen.
Dude, that thing did like billions of views. I mean, it did.
I understand, because people are like, oh, small person humor.
It's all right. Luke, I might have the regional MMA KO of the year. It's Sheikh Mansur Khabibulayev against Rodrigo Praia. Good God.
Have a seat, sir.
I think Terry Adam just rolled over in his grave, Luke.
I think he's having mental problems. I don't know if that's really all that fair.
I'm sorry, Luke. I didn't know anything about what happened to him after that. Remember when Rashad kicked Sean Salmon in the face and we never talked about Sean Salmon again?
Bro, that's one of the... I mean, and the way he flopped was so bad.
Like a fish, right?
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh.
But, you know, you probably laughed
the irony. Luke, this thing got passed to me a lot of times. Fair or foul on this Thompson boxing...
Bop.
I mean, protect yourself at all times, right?
You know what? I'm mostly surprised that single shot landed as hard as it did.
Shades of Victor Ortiz, Floyd Mayweather from 2011, right?
Yeah, and he walked
right. Wow, he went down hard, dude.
I mean,
that, is that would that?
It, yes, the answer is yes. It's shitty.
It's shitty.
But, dude, you gotta keep your fucking hands up, man.
You're right at the end of the day. But even what Floyd did was shitty. We only justified it because Victor Ortiz wanted out and did a running headbutt at Floyd, basically to set that up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's shitty. I don't know what happened between these two to set this up. But, Luke, time for some creative use of hot dogs. All right? Let's do that.
We should have done the glizzy bit on today's show.
Luke, let's zoom in on this guy.
Good thing our producers came up with that idea.
Luke, I got this maybe a world record amount of times. This gentleman using
his... Haven't we done this bit already?
Nope. He's not just stirring up the beer.
He's drinking it. It's a glizzy straw.
He's using it as a glizzy straw.
Yeah, didn't we do this on last week's show?
No, we had a different clip of a guy dipping it in it. We didn't have this, Luke. We didn't actually have this.
First of all, this gentleman is almost certainly a sex pest.
He's giving like the idea of being a hot dog advocate a bad name by doing this, you know? I mean, a hot dog took my liver from me. So maybe I shouldn't be all into this.
We should have done the glizzy straw thing today.
All right, have you heard about KFC Barstool and how he turned his pork into something called a pot dog? Your thoughts?
Can you just smoke out of a fucking...
You don't like using a pork pipe, Luke?
I'd feel a little weird.
All right. Okay.
Like, these were cool when you needed someone who was good at engineering and also finding pot in the 90s.
Sexually overt.
This?
Yeah.
It definitely can be.
Okay, what about this next clip? Bachelorette games, Luke, have evolved to becoming equally sexually
overt. You know, that seems...
Nocho Latinos has provided us this video, Luke.
Well, I can see that.
Okay.
And so for that reason, you have my attention.
Okay. All right.
Hold on. This is a true story. This is how much radio. Oh, she got it. If someone could send me her information, I'd like to follow up with her.
I was just pissed my pants. Like, that's a shoot, Luke. Wow.
No. This is a true story. Do you remember back in the day when Emeril Lagasse was famous? What was his famous catchphrase?
Bam.
Exactly right. So I used to work at a radio station. Now, they had stopped doing this by the time I got there, but this was a famous thing. This was back in, like, when shock jock radio was, like, at its, not quite its peak, but just
like... Shout out to Chad Dukes, the shock rock king.
Same radio station. Not his show. He was the intern on this show. And they got women to sign up for a prize, and the prize was, like, they were going to get breast implants paid for by the radio station by some contest. But they had to line up on their knees, and dudes would throw yogurt in their faces.
No.
And yes.
No, that's
and it was called the BAM Challenge. What I'm trying to point
demeaning.
Out is... Yeah, no shit. It was super demeaning.
This is a little bit demeaning.
This is just like that.
Okay, can we get it off the screen before we lose our sponsors? Thank you very much. Luke, I don't know what to say about this clip, so we'll just watch it.
I played the wrong sports. Yeah. You know what, young man? Shoot your shot.
I mean, he had to know. He had to know, Luke. He had to know. He had to know.
Cameras are everywhere, my friend.
He had to find out in the moment. Luke, that's almost as gross as this.
Dude, there's women who work on
the
show.
This is
super
called a guy changing another guy's oil. And it's okay, Luke. It happens at Jiffy Lubes all over the country. You know what I mean?
Waiting for
okay, let's go over to the gridiron.
Like, dude, and look at his forearms, too. Yeah. Like, that's not the first time he's done that.
I mean, he's going after it, Luke. Yeah. Dude,
my man looks like Popeye over there. You've been eating that spinach, Popeye? Look at those forearms.
Put in the new
bro.
Filter. Whatever you need to do, guy. Wow, that was great.
He might rip it off.
You know what? Robert Kraft has definitely gotten his oil changed here. But speaking of football, Luke, Bill Belichick putting on the UFC title belt in the weight room. He's got big moves
here.
Yeah,
he's the title bra. Look at this. This is a disaster.
Yeah. What do you do if you put on a championship belt like that and you don't deserve to wear it? Put your hands up in the air, Luke?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know.
I throw my hands up in the air sometimes, right?
You love Vegas.
Yeah.
You love Vegas. That's like every elevator in Las Vegas.
Luke, here's the move of the week from Dana White's Contender Series. They call this a 69 slam from Darius Beast Mode Flowers.
Yeah, to fuck his shoulder up. The reason why that's not a spike is because he is evading or he's trying to combat a submission attempt. And so he is allowed a little bit more latitude about what he can do.
North, south, my ass, Luke. That's straight to the 6'9". You know what I'm saying?
It's that Gene. You don't even get that joke, do you?
Luke, honest question on this next. Is that Daddy's Yankee? Luke, honest question.
That's Daddy Yankee.
You into this? You into this or what? Is this your type of thing? We've gone too far to come back, Luke.
Like, how do you explain what you do to your family? Like, okay, Daddy, what are you doing research for Monday's show? And they walk in your laptop and they see this. Your tossed salad experience starts here. How do you explain that to your kids?
Not easily, Luke.
Yeah, be like, but listen, Dad's a fraud.
Luke, we typically close, have you seen this shit, with people smoking themselves out in interesting ways. And you always say, bury me like that. This is how I want to die.
Like bury me in smoke.
Luke,
like
they now have a coffin bong experience if you're intuitive enough.
Dude, what is wrong with these white people?
You're telling, but look, that's the way you'd love to go out, doing what you love, right?
I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Where's Kevorkian when you need him, Luke? This is how you want it to end.
Dude, the amount of effort put in here to get high, it's like, you know, you can just light some up in a bowl.
Do you think that you could come out of that coffin without passing out after this?
I hope not.
Okay, then it worked.
I hope not.
One more, Luke. I forgot the guy's name. Somebody was all aggressive in my DMs. They're like, find out if Luke wants to be a season ticket holder. I was like, for what? They're like, this new sport. Buns and basketball. This ain't the right clip, is it?
Yeah, it's the right clip.
No, this is not the right clip. The right
it's
clip
absolutely
is,
the right
no,
clip.
No, the right clip has... There we go.
This is also the right clip.
So, Luke, apparently, yeah, I mean, we've seen lingerie football before. This is
Dude,
called,
there's women who work on this show. You are...
This is called Buns. This is not the clip I sent, I don't think, is it? All right, the one I showed had somebody going full court. They shot a half-court shot. All right, we get the point, guys, okay? It's Ash Cheeks and Luke likes him. All right.
You know,
right.
I often bemoan the fact that no one in my family watches the show, and now I'm like, what a blessing.
All right. I had a different clip, but that's fine. Luke,
what was in the clip you had sent?
It was them going full court, and this one chick with a big booty shot a half-court shot underhanded and banked it in, and they were like celebrating and smacking around the ass, and it was...
We should go to a game.
Wow. I do want to corner Christian DeGuero. You into that?
Asked Dig him. Hero?
Dig Hero has not accepted my invite. I haven't asked him, but, you know, he's representing us right on the D. You know what I mean? Right? Yeah.
As Fellatio tends to do. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been the worst show we've ever done.
No, it was good. Dude, you were so nervous about those two guys coming on, but that was fun.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
I mean, was it cringe? Yeah, but so was our whole show, Dick.
It's a little aggressive, but okay. Want to remind everyone, you can follow us on Showtime, or actually, what am I saying? Follow us on Showtime. You can get Showtime, 30 days free trial if you want to get it. Go to Showtime.com. Keep it if you like it. If not, bounce. We have merch. Now, I saw merch in the room today. Didn't see old... We'll talk about the Bellator card in just a second. I did not see RJ Dunkelfucker today, did you?
No, I mean, they say he brought some boxes, but I didn't see the guy.
I didn't see shit about that. So, but we do have merch, morningcombat.store. Also, they want us to talk about the Bellator card for whatever reason.
So, like, oh, Bellator made fight announcements while we were doing these shows today.
All right, put it on. Can we see it full screen so I can see? Here we go. So here is the run of Bellator events. These will all be on Showtime, as you can well imagine. Bellator 285, Friday, September 3rd. Then the Bellator 286 card. That's going to be the fun one with McKee and Carlisle. as well as Pitbull defending his title against
Adam Long Beach, in McKee's backyard, Luke.
The card in Italy is going to be on October 29th. The card on November 18th, Bellator 288.
How good is that? How good that is that doubleheader?
That to me, the last two ones are the crown jewels. November 18th and December 9th, because you have Nemkov Anderson 2, Anderson looking for the most important win of his career. Pitbull taking on Nurmagomedov. He might win the belt.
That's Patryki. So. I had it wrong. Patricia last time. Apologies. Patryki defending. Right.
And then you saw the gentlemen who were in here on the left side there with Rafael Stotts and Danny Sabatello. They'll be on one side of the bracket. The winner of that, of course, will face the winner of Pechi Mix and Magomed Magomedov at the Mohegan Sun. So
I don't know who's coming out of either of those fights. I don't know who's coming out of there.
Ooh.
I don't know, Luke.
Stotts is more well-rounded, but Danny is stubborn.
You got to watch stubborn it. Wrestler. You got to watch it on Showtime.
That's right. What's up? When are you doing your next Showbox gig?
Next week.
Next week. Where are you going?
Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Ooh, you're going to get bed bugs.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. But I'm here. You know, I came to win battle me. That's a sin. You sinner. You're not. Okay. That went too far. I apologize to all the women who work on our show.
I think we're going to be back on Friday here.
In this studio?
In the studio, yeah.
I'm going to be in Jersey a lot over 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're going to be back here on Friday, but we'll be back with you on Wednesday as well.
Does this actually work? Corey Anderson today told me I should get a new hat, but what do you think, Luke? I mean, it's the Chuck Mendenhall. You can buy this hat at mith.com, themyth.com, Chuck Mendenhall's website. It's the Boston Scally cap that Chuck, you know what this is, Luke. Do you like this, Luke?
Mostly think you should just get a lobotomy.
Does it work on me? Can we zoom in on Chuck's logo here? I love Chuck. Thanks, Tristan's like, hold on, I'm planning my next native tribal tattoo here.
Dude, someone from the MK account posted, BC asks Danny Sabatello, they tagged him, the hard-hitting questions. Yeah. I can't believe you did that. I mean, yes, I can believe
that. Yeah, well, why would you have fun with, like, one of the, probably the most outrageous interview in the game. You know what I mean, Luke?
Yeah, why would you ask the guy about, you know, fighters' erections? That is...
Because it was getting a little hot in here.
It is. It's hot as fuck.
No, meaning the tension between them, Luke, was getting so much that I was like, you know, I gotta bring it back a little bit.
Simmer it off. Yeah, cool it off.
Yeah. I don't want to do the show anymore.
Thank you. I can tell. Okay. You don't want to do most of it anyway. All right. That's Brian Campbell. I'm Luke Thomas. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thumbs up on the YouTube. You can follow us on the social there if you're watching below. Morning Combat everywhere, including on TikTok. Come see us on TikTok. And here's my vape. So for vaping... For this douchebag, for the crew that's here, for Buns and Basketball, CBS Sports, Malka, and Showtime, I'm Luke Thomas. Well, your gains be loyal.